20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL and the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. You are amazing for being here today. Thank you for joining us. Of course, we got you covered 365 days a year right here at the Pack-A-Day Podcast with all things Green Bay Packers. If it's your first time, thanks so much for showing up and checking it out. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. Anything you can do always to help the channel in those very simple ways, we always appreciate. Make sure to check out those memberships as well. This is always a little bit of a downer when you get to the end of opening free agency week and you have Monday and everything's coming in fast and furious and all of these transactions are happening and you're getting those dopamine hits every other minute, it feels like. And then Tuesday, all right, you got some stuff trickling in. And from a Packers standpoint, we saw our first transactions. And then Wednesday, it's less. And then you know, Green Bay still had a couple moves. And then Thursday, it's like dead. There's a couple moves that happened today. You know, Kyler Murray signed. We'll talk about that. And you get to Friday. And we're like, really, by the time Friday rolls around, you've got what, Rashid Walker out there as sort of the primary free agent left available. There's a smattering of other stuff that doesn't move the needle a ton. But for the most part, you get to Friday and free agency's done. There's still stuff out there. Don't get me wrong. You're still going to see some of these things happen over the course of the next couple weeks or so every once in a while. But you go from just every 5 minutes or so to a deal to Friday. It's just like, oh yeah, a couple minor moves came in and that's about it. It's really, really crazy. So we're at that point. So it's a little bit of a bummer. But I want to recap kind of what Green Bay has done so far and then just sort of look at where their biggest holes remain and what they need to still potentially do to get this team where it wants to go and just, you know, what they've done to upgrade, what positions might be downgraded. We're going to take a look at all of that today. Before we get there, we did have a couple transactions that took place. And a reminder, all offseason moves are presented by Habish, Habish, and Rotier. Now, the Packers are working to build their perfect roster and coaching staff. And if you are injured after an accident, you'll need a perfect staff of qualified and experienced attorneys to champion your cause. The attorneys at Habish are always here for you with a national reputation and a compassionate hometown service. They're going to work hard to get you the compensation that you deserve. When you call Habish, you're going to talk to a lawyer directly. It is super simple. Their number is 800-242-2874 or 800-2-HABISH. You can also visit their website at habish.com. Habish, Habish, and Rotier, national reputation, hometown service. Huge shout out to Habish for sponsoring today's show and really kind of taking care of us all off season long. Great, great, great partnering with them. Again, make sure to check them out over at habish.com. That news, as I mentioned, Emmanuel Wilson did sign with the Seattle Seahawks. So I think that's a good landing spot for him. You know, Charbonnet is coming off of injury and Kenneth Walker is now a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. And so there's going to be opportunity there. What he makes of that remains to be seen, but I think that's a good fit. I think it's a good scheme fit. I think he's going to be able to have some opportunity to make the team. It was just a 1 year up to $2.1 million deal. So nothing crazy. He's going to have to earn his spot in training camp, but a good landing spot for Emmanuel Wilson. He is no longer a Packer and is now a Seattle Seahawk. Now, from a Packers standpoint, the Packers did tender Donovan Jennings and Kamal Haddon as exclusive rights free agents. So they gave them those 1 year vet minimum deals. Those are usually no brainers, but it's a team's choice. They don't have to. And in fact, they didn't for one of their exclusive rights free agents. And that was Lasita Smith. Lasita Smith now becomes an unrestricted free agent. And it basically tells you he will not be back with Green Bay because they had a 1 year vet minimum $0 signing bonus deal for him if they wanted it. And they said no. So Lasita Smith is gone. Donovan Jennings and Kamal Haddon are back on those exclusive rights free agent deals. Meanwhile, there is some buzz out there that Josh Sweat is out there for trade and that Green Bay may have some interest in Josh Sweat. Another name that was out there, another team that was interested was potentially the Philadelphia Eagles. They made a defensive end signing of Ebiketie at the end of the day on Thursday. I don't know if that takes them out of the Josh Sweat, you know, sort of sweepstakes, if you will, or interest conversation, whatever it is, but it could. And it could legitimately lead to Josh Sweat being a legitimate option for Green Bay. Here's the little story on Josh Sweat. Josh Sweat was with Philadelphia and he worked with Jonathan Gannon. And when Sweat became a free agent, he specifically went to Arizona because he wanted to team with Jonathan Gannon again. And when the Cardinals fired Jonathan Gannon, Sweat basically was immediately not happy and immediately wanted out. And it just so happens that your Green Bay Packers have a little bit of money to spend, are probably open to adding another edge player if they wanted to, and have Jonathan Gannon. It's not a terrible contract. It'd be about $12.7 million against the cap this year. It's not brutal. It's a little, you know, it's what he deserves. Like, it's worthwhile for the player that you're getting, but I don't know if Green Bay quite wants to be in that range, but it would be a great pickup for Green Bay. I don't know what the sort of draft compensation or trade compensation that you would need to get him. I would think, if you look at what happened this week, I know they're different positions, but I would sort of put Osa Odighizuwa at defensive tackle to what Josh Sweat is at defensive end. And Odighizuwa just went for a third round pick. If I'm Green Bay, I'm okay with giving up a third. I really would like it to be a fourth. That would probably be what I would be primarily offering. But if I could do like a third for Sweat and like a fifth, maybe a sixth, I would at least consider that. But anything on day three, I would be all in. You know, if it's a fourth round pick for Josh Sweat, I would take that right away. You could look at some stuff like, would you do a Baron Sorrell for Josh Sweat? I think you probably should in that instance. Would it be a Sorrell in like a sixth or a Sorrell in a fifth? I don't know. Like, those are always complicated. As I always talk about with trades, it's one of the most complex conversations and topics to always talk about, because nobody views these players the same. Not teams, not agents, not players, not certainly fans. So I might say like one trade and you're going to be like, what are you talking about? And other people are like, that's too much. And others are like, that's not enough. And it's just, you know, give or take somewhere on the trade spectrum of what sort of pick you'd have to give up. But I would think late day two, early day three is probably what you're looking at for Josh Sweat. Could you give a fifth in Dontayvion Wicks? Could you give a fourth in Carl Brooks? Like, are there some other options there? I don't know. You do have the LaFleur connection, though. You do have brothers that can get on the phone and they're, you know, in their inner circle and talk to each other and say, hey, what do you want? Hey, this is what I want. All right, let's work something out. And maybe, just maybe, Josh Sweat could become a Green Bay Packer. And why that would be so important is, A, he's a really good football player. But B, that early part of the season where Micah is going to be out. Right now, it's what, LVN, Brenton Cox, Baron Sorrell, Colin Oliver. That's probably what you're looking at as your primary edge group early in the season. You add Josh Sweat to that, and it's Sweat, LVN, and then, you know, your interior defenders, Devontae Wyatt, and you know, you feel a lot better about that. You know, Hargrave, obviously, you feel a lot better about that. And then when Micah's back, you know, you can put LVN inside if you want to. And now, and Sweat can do a little bit of that as well. There's just a lot of unique looks that you could put out there. And you know, Jonathan Gannon's going to be knowing how to use Josh Sweat. He already knows how to use, you know, Hargrave. I'm sure he's going to figure out Micah Parsons pretty freaking quick, and why it's not a tough one to figure out either. He'll find ways to get those players out on the field in very successful situations. So I'd be all for it. I would love, love, love Josh Sweat to the Packers, but it would, again, depend on what it would actually cost them from a draft pick point of view, or from a trade compensation point of view. Meanwhile, Nate Hobbs, who Green Bay released with a June 1st designation, he is a San Francisco 49er. So he's going to get added to their secondary. 1 year, you want to take a guess on what that contract is? I'll remind you, last year in Green Bay, he signed a four-year, $48 million deal with your Green Bay Packers. 4 years, $48 million. This year, with San Francisco, he signed a one-year, drum roll please, $4 million deal that can get up to $4.5 million. So instead of a four-year, $48 million, he got a one-year four. That is a pretty significant step back. Now, for what Nate Hobbs played last year on that one-year deal, Green Bay paid him $18 million, just a little bit under $18 million for that 1 year of injury-riddled and mostly uninspiring play. And now San Francisco, a year later, gets him up to $4.5 million with a $4 million base salary. Quite the difference. And if you really go back to last year, Goody operated completely out of character in 2025. I mean, completely out of character. You could make the argument that signing Hobbs and Banks was somewhat akin to like a Za'Darius Smith and a Billy Turner, something in that range. that there's maybe some echo of doing something like that in the past. I would argue Za'Darius in his final year in Baltimore was better than Aaron Banks in his final year in San Fran. Turner is probably similar a little bit more, where Turner, you were taking a leap of faith that he was going to get better, and he mostly did, and it wasn't as exorbitant of a contract. But what Goody usually does in free agency is he goes high-level hunting for premium players, not necessarily a premium position, safety, running back, tight end, you know, guard, center. Like, we've seen some of these different positions, right? But in the case of Hobbs and Banks, he went all out for some pretty mid-tier players at best. And that he's really not done that. And it really bit him last year. It really, really bit him. And there were definitely options out there. In hindsight, Josh Sweat, one of those options. Milton Williams was out there. There were quite a few players that went on to have pretty impressive seasons. Aaron Banks and Nate Hobbs were not two of them. And it just, like, when you are trying to compete for a Super Bowl, and you are that team, and Goody again says, hey, it's time to start competing for championships, you can't spend that much money on players that you don't get the ROI from. And you just need everything to go perfect. And not only did they miss on two pretty big free agents last year, and now Nate Hobbs is off the team, they still have Banks, of course. Not only did you have a ton of injuries, but you had some offensive linemen not play. It just, you have to have things go perfect, and Green Bay was far from that in 2025. Hopefully it can be better in 2026. But Hobbs now a 49er, 1 year, $4 million. Again, he got paid $18 million-ish last year for his 1 year in Green Bay. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. We'll be right back. So I remember the very first time that drinking hit me differently. I was drinking responsibly the night before, and we had young kids at the time, and I woke up with my son crying in bed and just didn't feel right. It was a very harsh reminder that after the age of 30, even responsibly drinking alcohol will make you feel less than 100% the next day. The more I looked into it, the more I realized that even a few alcoholic drinks will crush your sleep and your next day readiness. That's why I'm obsessed with Cheers Restore. Cheers Restore is a dual action after alcohol aid. Its ingredients support both your brain and your liver after consuming alcohol. Cheers was originally invented by a student at Princeton and was designed for how alcohol actually affects your body, not just dehydration. And you don't have to just take my word for it. Cheers has appeared on Shark Tank and is sold in over 30,000 stores, and they've already sold over 50 million doses. And Cheers is backed by doctors, PhDs, and over 1,000 verified clinicians who share it with their patients. Cheers' promise is simple. All you do is take three capsules after your last drink or before bed, and you'll feel about 50% better the next day or your money back. That's why it's same night out, way better morning with Cheers. For a limited time, our listeners are getting 20% off their entire order by using code PACKADAY at cheershealth.com. Just head to cheershealth.com and use code PACKADAY for 20% off. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that PACKADAY sent you. Meanwhile, Rashawn Gary takes a pay cut in Dallas. That's an interesting one. I don't know how that happens. From Green Bay's standpoint, thank goodness that Rashawn Gary was open to that, because it helped net them a fourth round pick. Usually in this scenario, the player that's traded for has all the leverage in the world. What are you going to do? You just traded for him. You're going to release him? No, of course you're not going to release him. You just traded for him. So you're going to pay him his contract this year, and instead he takes a pretty significant pay cut. It does sort of make it more likely that they hold on to him in year two, and before it was non-guaranteed. So there is a little bit of that, but I would not have done that if I was Rashawn Gary. And if Dallas was only going to do the deal if, you know, for a fourth round pick, if Gary's contract was cheaper, usually Green Bay's the team that has to take that out of pocket and say, we'll convert some of it to, you know, to signing bonus and make the base salary less, so the team acquiring him gets him for cheaper. It's usually not the player taking the hit. So thank you, Rashawn Gary, for helping sort of facilitate that trade, and that Green Bay didn't have to take on more salary cap space and they still got a fourth round pick in return. Dallas probably happier that Gary didn't put up any fuss and signed a new contract with less money. Don't know why he did it. That's usually, again, that you don't see that very often, but worked out from Green Bay standpoint. Then of course, Kyler Murray, Minnesota Viking. Talked about this with, I know Justice was on, and maybe it was Tyler Brook the other day, but we talked about the ceiling for Kyler. To me, I'm not worried about all of a sudden Minnesota being Super Bowl contenders. I don't think that team can win the division, although I do think they're a lot friskier. But what I do think with Kyler is they're just a complete pain to play. You have another thing that you have to worry about. You already have to worry about Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and you have to worry about some of the unique stuff that Kevin O'Connell is going to cook up. And now you've got Kyler Murray, who can take all that. And he may not execute some of that stuff the exact way that you want, but he's also going to make plays with his legs, and you have to be prepared for that. It's just, it's going to be annoying. It's going to be frustrating. And where if it's, you know, JJ McCarthy or a really crappy quarterback, you feel pretty confident that you can maybe take two games from the Vikings next year. And instead, you have a much tougher task because of Kyler Murray. Again, I don't think this changes their championship equity or their, maybe, I think it changed their NFC North equity a little bit, but it just, it makes the, every team that has to play Minnesota, they got more difficult to play against. And of all the quarterbacks out there, we could have the conversation, Malik Willis or Kyler Murray, but for Minnesota specifically, where they just didn't have the salary cap space, this is by far and away the best option of a group of, quite frankly, not a lot of great options, but they get the best. He gets a one-year deal. He does get a no-tag clause, which is interesting, which means that if he goes out and absolutely crushes it in Minnesota, Minnesota cannot franchise or transition tag him, and Murray can actually see the open market, which is huge for him. But he's going to be extra motivated to go out and play his best football to get a huge payday next year. Because remember, he's on a vet minimum because Arizona's already paying his salary this year. Just an interesting way to look at it. But you know, to me, this is a very, very good signing for Minnesota on a very cheap deal. And you get a legitimate starting quarterback. Where you think he is in the pantheon of quarterbacks right now, if he's, you know, closer to 25th, 26th, 27th, it might be the case. But they just went, what, 9-8 last year with JJ McCarthy and Carson Wentz. And I have a feeling that this is going to be a step up at minimum from what we saw at the quarterback position for Minnesota a season ago. Let's talk about your 2026 Green Bay Packers so far and what they've done in the offseason. We're not going to cover everything in granular detail and all the assistant coaches and things like that, but we'll start with the coaches. Out are Rich Bisaccia and Jeff Hafley. In are Cam Acord and Jonathan Gannon. You know, if you look at like pedigree, there is an argument to be made that Gannon has a better defensive pedigree in the NFL than what Jeff Hafley does. But Gannon's coming off being fired from head coach, and Hafley just got a head coaching job. Hafley did a nice job in Green Bay. I do think it's slightly overrated. It was good. It wasn't amazing. It wasn't, oh my God, they're incredible. But it was good to really good. But I think Gannon can hang there. I'm not super concerned by that. And Bisaccia was not good. If Acord can be better, who the heck knows? I'll believe it when I see it. But I think overall, from a coordinator standpoint, I'm not concerned about anything. I don't think they've got remarkably better in any way, shape, or form. But I do think that they've probably broke even from where they were with their coordinators from a year ago, for the most part. Then you kind of just go position by position. Quarterback, out is Malik Willis. Remember last year they picked up at the sort of the end of the year, Desmond Ridder and then Kyle McCord is sort of flyers. They've not added any other quarterback yet. There's no question about it. That's a huge downgrade. They went from a starting caliber quarterback as their backup, who played at an unbelievable level when he got in, so much so that he got a huge new contract with the Miami Dolphins to be their starting quarterback. And now, as of this moment, it's Desmond Ridder as the backup. I don't know what they're going to do if they just are saying, hey, we're going to let McCord and Ridder, you know, battle it out. If they're going to try to draft somebody, if they're going to try to still trade or pick up somebody, I don't know at this point in time. But as of right now, on March 13th, that quarterback position is certainly taking a hit. And just even before we go further, I want to be clear. We are on March 13th. I'm not making final, you know, conclusions as to what this team's going to look like. We have a long way to go. There are still some free agents left. There are still some cut players left that Green Bay can kind of take a look at. In addition, we are going to have a draft coming up in just over a month. And after the draft, you sort of get this another like free agent period, or like some teams didn't get something they wanted in the draft, so they sort of relook at free agents. Plus you get trades usually via the draft too with some veteran players. That can happen both before, during, and after the draft. And then you have a lull after, you know, sort of rookie mini camps and OTAs are done and everything sort of shuts down. You might get a player to sign here or there during mini camps and OTAs. But the other thing too is right after the draft, the compensatory formula goes away. So you can sign anybody that's out there and it doesn't count against comp picks. So that could be another time where Green Bay does a little bit more shopping. And then cut down time is another time where you get trades and waiver claims to help your roster. And then, of course, you have the trade deadline. There's a long way to go and a lot of checkpoints along the way. Again, we're about 6 months from football. We have a long way to go for Green Bay still to iron out this team and hopefully add to some spaces that need it and just upgrade it as much as they can. But for now, just a few days into free agency, quarterback clearly in a worse spot than it was a year ago. Running back, Emmanuel Wilson is a Seahawk. They re-signed Chris Brooks. And then you do have to sort of, but Marshawn Lloyd didn't play a single snap last year. If he plays 10, if he plays 100, if he plays 200, if he plays 500, I don't know what that number is. Could be zero. But if he does play, that is something that you didn't have a year ago. But as of right now, you know, it's tough to put injuries into the equation because Lloyd could easily be injured again. They've only lost Emmanuel Wilson. They haven't really gained anything. Your hope is that Marshawn Lloyd can be something there to help you. But as of now, from a pure roster standpoint, out is Emmanuel Wilson. They have not made any other changes. So a slight downgrade there from where they were a year ago. Wide receiver. Back is Bo Melton on the exclusive rights free agent deal. He's a wide receiver corner, a little bit of hybrid between both. But Romeo Doubs is gone. Sky Moore is in. I love the signing of Sky Moore. I think it makes all the sense in the world. We'll talk about it when we get to special teams and what he can bring as a kick returner and punt returner. But zero question that wide receiver is taking a hit. Doubs got a big deal to go to New England. He's going to probably be their number one wide receiver, at least in the conversation. I guess they have Douglas and Booty as well, but yeah, he'll be in that conversation. At least he'll be a starter for them. And Green Bay loses that. Now, there's logical pieces like a Matthew Golden, right? That he can take that step, that Savion Williams can step up and so on and so forth. They're not lacking weapons at wide receiver, but from a pure depth chart standpoint, they have gone from Romeo Doubs to Sky Moore, and that is a clear downgrade at wide receiver. At tight end, out is John Fitzpatrick. They've re-signed Josh Wiley. Nothing really moving the needle one way or the other. Of course, the big thing is they would get back Tucker Kraft from injury. And then on the offensive line, out are Elgton Jenkins, and I'm just putting Rashid Walker on this line right now. I know he hasn't signed yet, but it's not going to be back with Green Bay. So out are Rashid Walker and Elgton Jenkins. They re-signed Sean Ryan. They re-signed Darian Kennard. Donovan Jennings is back on the exclusive rights free agent deal. And you do get Travis Glover back from injury, who was out all last year. Of course, Zach Tom comes back from injury as well. But Glover was out out from training camp on last year. So you do get that back as well. There's another one where, yes, you re-signed Sean Ryan. You haven't got anything new. And now you've lost Rashid Walker and Elgton Jenkins. So it's tough to say anything, but that's being a downgrade as well. So if you look at offense, downgrade at quarterback. Slight downgrade at running back, downgrade at wide receiver, really no change at tight end, although technically it might be a small downgrade if Fitzpatrick's not there. And then a downgrade on the offensive line, at least from, again, the players that you had, right? You haven't replaced those players, at least not a Rashid Walker or Elgton Jenkins type player that has come in new to the team. That doesn't mean that the offense has to be worse. You're hoping that Marshawn Lloyd can be healthy. You're hoping that Tucker Kraft can be healthy. You're hoping that Zach Tom can be healthy. Travis Glover's coming back. You know, you have offensive linemen finally playing in their right spots with Jordan Morgan at left tackle and with Banks hopefully healthy this year. Sean Ryan getting a full offseason at center. Anthony Belton year two getting a full offseason at guard. Again, Zach Tom being healthy. There are reasons where this offense could be better. But from a pure depth chart standpoint, they have taken a step back from pure talent on the team. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to, again, equate to worse offense out on the field. There's reasons it can actually get better, but from a pure depth chart standpoint, it's a little bit worse as of this point in time. Defensively, interior defensive line, out is Colby Wooden. You have Jonathan Ford coming back. And then, of course, Javon Hargrave is the big addition. This is one of the big ones that actually looks improved at the moment. Wooden gone, Hargrave in. I do think that's going to be a win for Green Bay. I do think that will be an improvement. And that's at least a slight step in the right direction, but they still haven't really found that nose tackle that they need, and they still need some big bodies at that position to help them out through the course of this year. Edge, Rashawn Gary, Kingsley Enagbare, both gone. Gary is in Dallas, and Enagbare is with the Jets. They did bring back Brenton Cox. Aaron Mosby is TBD. They have not done anything with him yet. So as of this moment, Gary and Enagbare are gone, and Mosby is pending, and they haven't done anything to upgrade that position in any way. So your thought may be, oh, good, they got rid of Rashawn Gary. That's better. I don't want him on my team anymore. I get it, but he did provide good run defense, if nothing else. And there were, you know, pressures there too from time to time. But losing Gary and Enagbare are two solid-ish players off the team, and you have not done anything to replace them. So downgrade at edge. We'll be right back. Off-ball linebacker, gone is Quay, in is Zaire Franklin. I think Quay is a little bit better than Zaire. Clearly the NFL did too. Quay got a pretty big deal. Franklin went for a rotational defensive lineman on the trade market and is making much less. I think Franklin, for the most part, is going to be able to kind of fill in and do what Quay did, but I do think it's going to be a little bit of a step back. You do return Nick Neiman and Christian Welch as special teams players, but this is probably a slight step back for Green Bay's defense at linebacker. At corner, gone are Trayvon Diggs-ish. He was there for like a snap, right? And then Nate Hobbs is gone as well. In is Benjamin St. Juste. And you have the return of Bo Melton and Kamal Haddon as exclusive rights free agents as well. I actually think I'll put this as an upgrade. You didn't have Diggs really last year anyway, and I would take St. Juste over Nate Hobbs. Simple as that. So I actually think there's a slight upgrade here, even if it's not significant. And then at safety, the only move so far is that Zane Anderson is out. You have not done anything to replace him in any way, shape, or form. Defensively, again, probably better at interior defensive line, worse at edge, slightly worse at linebacker, a little bit better at corner, slightly worse at safety. That's where they're at right now. Ways you can get better. You do have a new defense under Jonathan Gannon. You've got Micah Parsons, Devontae Wyatt coming back from injury. Javon Hargrave should be an upgrade over Colby Wooden. Benjamin St. Juste, I think, is going to be an overall upgrade in the corner room. Might even end up starting, even though he's on a pretty cheap deal. And I do think there's more help to come. No way that this defensive line is settled. Keep an eye through the draft and in corner too, and in free agency still. I do think there's some upgrades coming, maybe via trade also, but I don't think that this is the final form of this Packers defense. So keep an eye out still for some moves there. Kicker, punter, long snapper are all the same. Kick returner, punt returner, you do get Sky Moore, which I think has the ability to be a huge upgrade in the return game. And then they did bring back Nick Neiman, Christian Welch. You do have Sky Moore, who's again, the kick returner, punt returner. Benjamin St. Juste plays a ton of snaps on teams as well. Even Zaire Franklin might be able to do a little bit of that. And the only sort of specialist that you've lost so far is Zane Anderson. And I do think they have the safeties like a Ketanji Ladapo who can do a little bit more there if needed in 2026. Your reasons for improvement on special teams, the main thing is Sky Morgan. You do have a new coordinator as well. Maybe bring some new ideas, but actually having a legitimate kick returner and a legitimate punt returner, as long as he makes the 53, that should help Green Bay quite a bit. The question I would ask is, has Green Bay actually solved any significant problem so far? My answer would probably be no. They still don't have a backup quarterback. They still don't have really the depth and competition that I think you would like on the offensive line. I think there's still some question marks there. They do not have a nose tackle. They still probably need a little bit more depth in overall competition on the interior of the defensive line. You might still want another edge rusher to come in and compete as well. You'd still like more competition at corner. And I think you'd actually probably like a kicker competition as well. And I'm sorry if I said this, but backup quarterback too is one that you have not addressed. So all of those are things that went into this offseason as question marks, and they're all sort of still question marks. Now, linebacker, the thought was you might lose Quay, so they've done a good job of filling that in with Zaire Franklin. At corner, you wanted a different flavor, more competition there. They go get Benjamin St. Juste. I don't think that's enough, but they did do something there. And then, you know, you do get Javon Hargrave, which I think is an upgrade on the interior of the defensive line. I think bringing back Sean Ryan is a big deal and should help you on the offensive line. But it's tough to look at this team right now and say that they've gotten better through roster building. And we sort of knew that was going to be the case with all the big free agents that they had and not having a first round pick and not having a ton of money to spend. But as of right now, the roster does look a little bit more thin. I'll say it one more time. A lot of time to go. And I do think there are internal things from players returning from injury and just a young team that's getting better that can help mitigate some of that loss. But as of right now, if you're looking at both ledgers, there's more on the negative side than on the positive side for what they lost rather than what they've gained so far. That's kind of all I got for today. Nothing too crazy, just kind of interesting looking at it. Again, if you're looking at what they still need, a nose tackle for sure, interior defensive lineman, maybe a defensive end, corner competition, offensive line competition and depth, blocking tight ends, one I didn't mention. That's another thing they'd probably like. Backup quarterback, and maybe a kicker for the kicker competition too. So I still think there are things that this team needs to address. And if they could go and find a way to do that and fill some of those spots and be creative with it, that would be great, because I do think if this team wants to be great, they're going to have to do a better job of filling some of those needs and where they're at right now. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donnelly, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Ritaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Chris Reger, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkelsinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John Dimitropoulos, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Richard Morales, Les Nienau, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Steve Bates, John-Mark Liddell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, Zilch Zillardson, Large Charles, Jake Conner, and Will Glass. I'll see you guys right back here for happy hour, 3 p.m. Central Time today and tomorrow for an all-new episode. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.